an outpouring of support from a community grieving the loss of a 15-year-old girl. Hear from loved ones who knew Joyana Pearsall best.
We're taking you inside the state crime lab, showing you how a new renovation can help get criminals off the streets faster.
The countdown is on for this picture-perfect weather to end. See the new timing of the transition to stormier and cooler conditions.
Today, more than 500 people gathered to remember the life of a 15-year-old shot and killed at a spring break pool party a week ago. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Joyana Pearsall was laid to rest in Goldsboro this afternoon, surrounded by a community in mourning. WRAL's Brett Neese was there for her funeral and spoke with loved ones honoring the teen.
There wasn't a seat to be found as people packed the Briar Creek Association Church, all to honor the life of Joyana Pearsall, a life taken far too soon, but one whose impact is having a lasting effect on this community. Joyana Pearsall, it's a fitting name, as she brought so much joy to the lives of her family and friends.
She was a happy baby, and I'm gonna forever miss that.
Her aunt, Maria Jackson Bell, presiding over the service that was filled with so much emotion. Joyana was weeks away from celebrating her 16th birthday.
Joyana was my number six grandchild. And when I got the phone call, the first thing came to mind is, Lord, why?
The teenager's family says they're overwhelmed with the amount of support they've received.
That was love. That tells you that that was a young lady that did not deserve to lose her life the way she did.
Still, no motive or arrest in the shooting that took her life and left five other young people injured. The calls for change only growing louder with each passing day.
This is different. This is different where people, where the families are really embracing the community and talking with the community.
As family and friends poured out of the church, so too did the emotion of Joyana's passing. A horse-drawn carriage took the purple casket she will be buried in to the cemetery. Purple was Joyana's favorite color.
And I thank God for her life, because her life has brought a lot of change already in this city.
Since her death, the community has held a vigil, a balloon release, and a rally, all in Joyana's name and in an effort to end gun violence. Another rally will be held on April 23rd at 6 p.m. at the T.C. Coley Community Center. In Goldsboro, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
A former NC State football player is the man who Raleigh police have charged for firing shots at a Glenwood South apartment complex. You'll see video of his arrest only here on WRAL. I will warn you, though, it's a bit difficult to watch. You can see Hakeem Jones walking toward police right there. Officers hit him with that taser. Jones falls to the ground. This happened at the Gramercy Apartments on West North Street on Sunday. The 29-year-old is facing four felonies. Police say he assaulted two people, and two of the shots hit occupied apartments. Jones played football for NC State from 2012 to 2015. He's a former Wake County gym teacher who now works as a program director for I-9 Youth Sports.
It absolutely just bizarre that this even happened in such a place where we live. And I'm grateful that no one was injured at all.
We did reach out to Jones and I-9 Sports today. We're still working to get a response. Jones made his first court appearance this morning and was released after posting a $150,000 bond.
VinFast is teaming up with Central Carolina Community College to train its workforce at a new campus in Sanford. It's about 15 minutes down the road from the Future Factory site in Chatham County. The Vietnamese automaker will occupy part of this $72 million advanced manufacturing training facility. These are renderings of what this will ultimately look like. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live in Sanford after talking with VinFast North Carolina-based CEO. Matt?
Yeah, Deborah, she tells me they want to start training workers inside this building here a year before production starts in Chatham County. Now, this used to be the Morelli Auto Parts factory here. It's going to become a training facility that we know as the Moore Manufacturing and Biotech Solutions Center. Governor Roy Cooper joined VinFast Manufacturing CEO Van An Huynh and college leaders here to tour this center. The college still needs about $50 million to renovate this space. It is hoping state lawmakers will fund the project to speed up the opening of the training center here. VinFast plans to hire more than 7,000 people for its factory in Chatham County. It will be fully automated like the company's first factory in Vietnam. WRAL traveled there in July to show you how these electric vehicles are built.
You know, having a well-trained workforce is very important. So people need to be trained on not only the skills to do the job, but it's also the industrialization skills, you know, all those things very important. So you will see a lot of activities happening with regards to recruitment and training 2024.
VinFast factory in Chatham County will have the capacity to build 150,000 electric vehicles a year, starting with two SUV models. Governor Cooper actually got to take a spin in one of those. These are the very first VinFast vehicles to be on the road here in North Carolina. Wynn says VinFast is committed to starting its production in 2025 from that factory up at the mega site in Moncur. That is a delay. The original plan was to start pumping out vehicles, these electric SUVs, there in July of next year, 2024.
It's all moving forward. Matt Tallhelm, live in Sanford. Thank you, Matt.
A new renovation that opened today at the State Crime Lab in Raleigh will help get criminals off the streets faster. That's what we heard today from state officials as they marked the ribbon cutting for this new space. WRL's Sarah Kruger was there and shares how this will speed up prosecution.
Court cases rely on evidence, and a lot of that evidence comes here to the State Crime Lab in Raleigh to be tested. Now this new renovation means there's space for more scientists here, and they can get through those cases more quickly.
Inside this lab, scientists are testing evidence, blood and urine samples for drugs and alcohol. This is a new design for the drug chemistry and toxicology wing, one that has more space and an improved workflow.
We moved to a cubicle format for offices, which doubled our ability as far as hires for analysts for the casework. And we moved to a more lean layout for the laboratory space.
And the architecture allows for a more rational flow of the evidence. So you're just not wasting time going from one office to the other side of the office to back.
One of the big worries in a courthouse is that there's a backlog of cases.
Special Deputy Attorney General Boz Zellinger explains that the ability to work more efficiently in this lab means court cases will move more swiftly, getting criminals off the streets faster.
You don't want to have a situation where you're waiting on information from a lab to be able to prove your case. And so with this space and with additional people that work at the lab and the additional science that's done here, cases come back quicker, and that helps us clear court dockets, effectively prosecute people faster, and ensure that the public's kept safe.
This unit in the crime lab has the highest workload. In fiscal year 2021, 3/4 of all evidence was handled by the drug and toxicology scientists. The work performed in this wing is especially critical with the fentanyl crisis facing our state.
Here in North Carolina, we lose 8 people every day to a fentanyl overdose. Our scientists will be able to test evidence swiftly and provide law enforcement with the analysis that they need to get dangerous drug traffickers off of our streets.
Prior to this renovation, the lab space here was roughly 30 years old. The funding to do this, about $5 million, came from the state legislature. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News in Raleigh.
WRAL's latest documentary looks at the impact fentanyl has had right here in North Carolina. Crisis Next Door explores how the drug is destroying lives in our communities. You can watch it on the WRAL documentary YouTube page.
As we take a live look at the state legislative building tonight, this is where state house lawmakers voted largely along party lines today to ban transgender girls from girls' sports in middle school through college. That's after they heard from Riley Gaines, a former NCAA swimmer who's become an activist on this issue. Gaines said she was deprived of a trophy in her last competition because a transgender woman swimmer was larger and faster than she was. She urged lawmakers to ban transgender women from women's sports as a matter of fairness to women.
I felt betrayed and belittled, and like my efforts and sacrifices I had made had been reduced to a photo op to validate the identity and feelings of a male.
This bill is a pretext for bigotry. It's a part of what I think is a larger effort to ban transgender people from living their lives openly.
That's Representative Vernetta Alston, an opponent of the bill. She says it's an excuse for bigotry and is likely to be struck down in federal court. The bill now goes to the Senate, which is working on its own version of a ban.
Dozens of students at Pinecrest High School walked out of class today protesting a recent policy change the Moore County School Board made. The new policy requires school officials to notify parents if a student has changed their pronoun. School board members say they're respecting parental rights. This afternoon, students and some parents marched. They held signs and spoke out against the policy. They say it would be harmful to some students who looked at the school as a safe space.
But it puts a lot of trans students kind of in the line of fire or in danger from outing and forcibly outing themselves to parents when they might have wanted a safe space at school with their teachers.
Some parents say their kids were marked with an unexcused absence for walking out today. We reached out to the Moore County School District. They did not respond. North Carolina lawmakers are trying to pass a similar rule statewide. The bill has already passed in the Senate. Still ahead, you've likely seen those scary videos of furniture tipping over on children.
New safety standards are now in place to prevent that from happening to more children. We explain the changes coming up. Cary's oldest mall is getting a facelift. We're going to show you the vision plan for South Hills Mall and the timeline for work to start. Mike?
Deb, our weather's still looking picture perfect. Blue sky, a little toasty today, even more so tomorrow. But we're tracking the system, still on time for Saturday. We'll show you how it moves through coming up.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Today, the state announced free COVID tests will remain available in North Carolina for families through June. Once limited to specific areas, this program is now open to everyone. Joining us to talk about this new resource and where we stand currently in our fight to keep the metrics for COVID down is State Health Director and DHHS Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Elizabeth Tilson. Dr. Tilson, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. This is an important topic.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the importance of it right now as far as spread is concerned. Where do we stand as a state?
So COVID is still around and still circulating, but thankfully, trends are lower than they've been in the past. So we're in a much better position now than we've been in the past.
Let's talk about testing. There was that time where testing every family, everybody was talking about testing. I don't hear about it as much today as in months ago. Is there still this great need for tests in our communities?
There's still a need to be prepared. And so what we really are encouraging households is make sure you have a supply of tests at home so that if you or a family member is sick, you can go ahead and do that test right away. And with this new resource, it's even easier for families to go ahead and just order those free tests directly to their home, and they'll have them if they need them.
So we've been seeing a lot of changes, obviously, as this has evolved. The FDA changing some guidance yesterday for older adults. Who is impacted, and what does getting vaccinated right now look like moving forward for that older age group?
Yeah, and we're waiting for CDC to make a formal recommendation as well. But if that goes through today, there's several changes that will happen. One, for people who've already had an updated booster, so have had a booster since September, people over the age of 65 and people who have an immunocompromising condition, they can go ahead and get an additional booster. And there were some other changes as well that have been recommended and authorized by the FDA. Everybody 6 months and over now are going to be moving to using the updated vaccine for all of their vaccinations. And people 6 years and over, if they haven't had any vaccination yet, then just having one dose of the updated bivalent vaccine will be considered up to date.
When we look at the forecast of what we should expect, is there another spike of COVID infections anticipated on the horizon?
Well, my COVID crystal ball has failed me multiple times, so never say never. And COVID has taught us to be that it's unpredictable. But in general, I expect that COVID will start circulating like our other respiratory viruses, and we'll see increases in the winter, and then we'll see decreases in the spring and the summer like we're seeing now. So that's what I expect. But again, COVID has taught us that it is quite unpredictable sometimes.
Dr. Elizabeth Tilson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
New safety standards have been approved to prevent furniture tip-over accidents involving children. Five on Your Side has been tracking this for years. Today, the Consumer Product Safety Commission voted to set new manufacturing standards for dressers. Clothing storage furniture will have to pass tougher stability testing. The rule takes effect 120 days after it's published. Some big changes are on the way for Cary's oldest mall, South Hills. We looked through the developer's application to the town and its vision plan for the new district. It lays out plans to create more than 1,700 apartments and more than 300,000 square feet for office space and research and development. Developers say they plan to give the area a more urban feel.
South Hills will be urban. It will be dense. It will be extremely walkable, anchored by sports and special events, center surrounded by retail, residential, offices, you know, all sorts of uses that it's hard to contemplate today, but South Hills will be very different when we're done.
Yeah, that would be different. Ward says people can expect to start seeing physical changes within the next 1 to 2 years. Well, this is the second shopping center in Cary to make way for new development. Epic Games says it's moving forward with a new headquarters on the site of the old Cary Town Center. Work has slowed on the project since demolition was complete. Epic's original target date to open a new office space was 2024.
That whole area is growing and changing.
It's not going to look the same at all.
You bet.
Everything changes.
Meteorologist Mike Mays, let's talk about some changes in the weather. It's starting to feel a little bit like summer out there.
Yeah, we felt it today with the 85. At least the humidity was low, so if you were in the shade, it didn't feel so bad. But if you were in the full sunshine, yeah, you felt that 85. Normal high is about 74. Cranking up the heat more tomorrow, 89 the forecast high. We'll flirt with 90 degrees. The record tomorrow is 93, set back in 1896. Don't think we're going to have the record. Record high on Friday is 90. Could come close to that. We're forecasting 86. 79 is the transition day. We got the cold front coming in. Showers and storms look likely. Cooler and less humid on Sunday. We bump the high up to 70. 66 on Monday. And all of next week looks rather comfortable compared to what we're experiencing now. Now, due to the 89 tomorrow, the air quality is going to suffer. So here in the Triangle, we have a code orange ozone action day. That's for Durham County, Granville County, Franklin County, and Wake County. It's unhealthy for sensitive groups. So if you have asthma, emphysema. Bottom line is you want to limit your outdoor exposure tomorrow to the air, and that's in the afternoon. And then the surrounding counties, the moderate air quality, so not all that bad. Out there right now on the WRL Live Cam Network, we've got beautiful weather going on, comfortable to be outside. Goldsboro, Sanford, we have you covered in Fayetteville with the WRL Fayetteville Newsroom there on Hay Street. 83 right now in Fayetteville. It's 80 here in Raleigh, 77 in Roxboro, 76 in South Hill. And we have Live After 5 going on in downtown Raleigh. The next one is May 17th. This goes on until about 8 o'clock tonight. 72 by 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 68. Mostly clear skies, and it will be comfortable. So the next weather feature we're watching is our cold front. Severe weather breaking out across the plains today. There'll be another round tomorrow, another round on Friday. Here's a high-resolution look at future cast till about 2 a.m. Saturday morning. We see showers and thunderstorms approaching the area. By the time we start the day on Saturday, there's the last bit of the high-resolution model. We'll have more information, high-resolution look, starting tomorrow. For Saturday, we'll get a better idea of timing. Also, if we have a potential for severe weather, because we'll have severe parameters to look at with a high-resolution model, may consider having a WRL weather alert day for Saturday if we have that severe threat. 7 a.m. Saturday, a small chance for rain. The bulk of it should come during the afternoon. You can see how futurecast comes to life with showers and storms. Still looking at a lot of wind shear, but the storm energy is low, so still there's a limited severe threat. We'll investigate that closer tomorrow. Sunday, still looking great. Partly cloudy skies, less humid and dry, so the weekend won't be a washout. Milder tonight from 50 for the low this morning to 56 tonight in Raleigh, 58 Fayetteville. It's mostly clear, and tomorrow's just hot. Hottest day of the year. The hottest so far has been 87. That happened at the beginning of the month. 89 tomorrow, at least 89 Fayetteville, 87 at Roxborough. Check back tomorrow to see if we actually hit 90. So for Friday, 86. Saturday, we have those showers and storms. We've upped the chance from what we had yesterday, 70% during the day, 60 in the evening, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, we begin to cool back down. Highs still look like they're going to be in the 60s. Those morning lows in the 40s, although not as cold as what I showed you last night. Now it's more mid and upper 40s instead of the low 40s.
But still pretty chilly.
Yeah. You know what?
You'll need your jacket.
Get those rain clouds away from my weekend. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
But you know what? Not much to complain about, honestly.
Not at all. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
A major music festival is bringing some big names to our state. We're going to tell you about this year's lineup for Merlefest before it tunes up next week. That's coming up.
Some big names are coming to Merlefest this year.
Maren Morris, the Avett brothers, they will perform in the festival in Wilkes County. It's about an hour west of Greensboro if you're looking to make the trek. The event attracts around 80,000 people each year. Merlefest is family friendly, so bring the kids, plenty of stuff for them to do. The festival begins next Thursday. Sounds fun. Mm-hmm. This weekend, thousands of people will take part in the Tar Heel 10-miler.
The annual race showcases downtown Chapel Hill, campus, and the nearby historic neighborhoods. WREL is a proud partner of this event that brings alumni from all over back to the Triangle. WREL's Jeff Hogan, Joe Fisher, and Allie Ingersoll will all be there. They'll be running. It's not too late for you to join them. Go to the Tar Heel 10-miler website for registration details.
Do they do like a 2 or 3 miler? You know, something maybe, I might be able to get involved
team.
In.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do
idea.
5. You do 5.
There we go.
Maybe we might need a third person.
Maybe do we
I'll
do.
I'll do one
yeah.
or two. So we're getting a look, another amazing glimpse into the stars from NASA's James Webb Telescope.
You know, this really never gets old. Take a look. It captures two galaxies merging together. This merger began 700 million years ago. Scientists say this is happening 250 million light years away from us.
I'm just going to take their word for that.
It's,
you know,
yeah,
it's
far.
How do they know? I can't even begin to understand the calculations that those mathematicians can do, but I know it's beautiful.
They're physicists. They
yes.
know that stuff.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
we don't.
Unbelievable. Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us tonight here on WREL News.
See you again tonight at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WREL. Good night.